You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles. Welcome back to In the Trenches. It is the offseason. I'm going to try to do these In the Trenches as often as I can, at least every other week. But there's a lot of things going on Buccaneer-wise. If you guys have been looking at the wire, the Buccaneers did get Mike Evans signed. Now, at the beginning of this year, when he put it out to the Buccaneers that here I am, I'm ready to lock me up, I'm almost positive that they'd have locked him up then and saved themselves some money. That's usually the way it works. It happened to me in negotiations back in the day. I asked for $8. They didn't want to give me $8. They ended up giving me $12. That's the way it happens sometimes. The Bucs had no way to figure out or to foresee that Mike Evans would have one of his best years at this juncture of his career. It would look bad if they didn't re-sign Mike Evans. It would just look bad as an organization. And I think Mike Evans wanted to stay here. You know, the grass isn't always greener. You know, his agent came out and said Mike wants to play with an elite quarterback and he wants to have a chance to win a Super Bowl. That's his priority. Listen, he won a Super Bowl right here a couple years ago. So it's not like you're going somewhere like, you know, you think of a better chance of winning a Super Bowl in Buffalo? I don't know about that. I mean, odds are probably not since they've never won one. And the Bucs always figure out ways to win one here as of late. So Mike Evans, the Buccaneer, to the end of his career, he's going to go down as, I don't know if he's not the best. Because when you get into longevity and career, and we're talking about the best, you know, all times in the whole league, not just Buccaneers. I'm talking about dude has just surpassed anything anybody ever thought was going to be the deal. Okay, so, you know, God bless Mike Evans. He's going to be here and he's going to retire a Buccaneer. Now, the next up, obviously, is Baker Mayfield. If you think that Mike Evans was going to sign here thinking that Kyle Trask was going to be his quarterback, you're crazy. He knew that the next move was going to be the Buccaneers going after Baker Mayfield. And I would not be shocked in the next week or so. Free agency starts here. You start a call and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to let everybody know they've been talking to Baker's people. They've been talking to Mike's people. Tampering is part of football. If you ain't tampering, you ain't trying. So they know what's going on. They know what Baker wants to do. At this point, if you re-sign Baker before free agency, you got to pay him a little extra because you don't know what the market rate is. And Baker doesn't want to go anywhere, people. He doesn't. I hate to speak for athletes, but why would it be better for Baker to go to Atlanta or something like that? He has to reestablish himself, relearn a system, relearn his teammates, you know, win back over a fan base. If he goes to Atlanta, they're not going to love him. Our fan base loves him here already. There's going to be Baker Mayfield jerseys the whole nine yards. It's been a long time since Baker has seen a bunch of Baker Mayfield jerseys in the stands. So I foresee Baker Mayfield coming back. Then after that, the Tristan Wirfs thing will get taken care of eventually if they can figure that out money-wise. Tristan Wirfs won't play for his contract that he was signed. First one, no way. It's not going to happen. And you almost guarantee that they put a tag on Antoine Winfield Jr. as a franchise player, and he gets whatever that number is. And he deserves every last bit of it. And I don't ever complain about what players get. I think they should get every penny of it. Whatever Antoine Winfield Jr. gets, he's worth more. There's very few players you can say that about. Antoine Winfield Jr. statistically is one of the best safeties in the league. By your eyes, one of the best. And my goodness, he's better than his statistics. That's all I'm going to say. If you don't watch him consistently, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you watch the Bucs consistently, Antoine Winfield Jr. is substantially better than his statistics. There's at least three or four tackles this year. It just came out as tackles, but they were tackle fumbles, saved touchdowns. Game-winning plays. There's not many people that, you know, win games for you. Listen, I've been a Buccaneer fan since day one. There's a few players I thought were overrated. Gerald McCoy was one of them. You can't tell me one play Gerald McCoy made in his whole career. Not one. Nobody can. I've asked a million people. Nobody can tell me one play Gerald McCoy made in his whole career. What about Antoine Winfield Jr.? Last year he saved two touchdowns and ended up winning games for them. That's two wins as a safety. That's all I ask for. Because I'm a Buccaneer. I want everybody to be great. But it doesn't always work that way. So Baker obviously is next. The salary cap did go up to $255 million. We were reminiscing about our old days in the Buccaneers and when we were making the tens of thousands of dollars way back when and the hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I looked at the salary cap in 1994. The NFL salary cap was $34 million. And now it's $255 million. That's a lot. Oh, my God. Nothing grows like that. From 34 million in 94, that's 30 years ago, to 255 million? That's crazy. Good for them. Good for them. So these guys are going to be rolling out the Brinks trucks, and God bless the first people to get signed, always get paid too much, allegedly. Good for them. Once that market value is set, then it's going to all come, you know, steamrolling. It's crazy. The Bucks are not going to be involved in a lot of everything. The Bucks have to spend all their money taking care of their own. So the Bucks are probably going to look very similar to the way they did last year, and that's not the worst thing in the world. We were a Buccaneer team that competed. You'd like to see them get better, but that's what the draft is for. The Bucks have to start thinking about life after Baker. The Bucks have to start thinking about life after Mike Evans, but that's not something that's a big deal. To draft a franchise wide receiver gets done every single year. To draft a franchise quarterback sometimes doesn't get done for decades. Decades. So I'm not the guy who does mock drafts. I hate a mock draft. I'm not the guy to sit here and talk to you about the combine 40s. Like, anybody should give a shit. I'm not the guy. Oh my God, he ran a 4.1. Did his film get better? His film was the same? Okay. What am I supposed to do? I mean, if I evaluated you as an offensive lineman and you evaluated you got a C and you bench pressed 225, say 100 times, and that's twice the record, you're still going to get a C. I never understand that. Who shined in the combine? It shouldn't matter. It should be, to me, 90% film. 90% of my evaluation goes to film. And if I watch 10 games of anybody, I'll let you know what their weaknesses, their strengths, the whole nine yards. But I'll be damned if I let somebody's stock rise with shorts on in front of people running in a straight line. It ain't going to happen. Because there's a lot of great football players that aren't great straight line runners. Most of them, actually. And I just, the combine to me is, that being said, I love to watch the combine. I love watching it. I like to watch kids compete. I like to see how people are moving. You know, I like when they show the highlights and they show three great blocks by a lineman. And you're like, oh, he's good. Yeah, you picked three blocks out of what? 1,000? If you took my three best blocks in college, you'd be like, damn. And some of these guys' blocks aren't that good. Some of them are standing straight up in the air, and some of them I'm like, well, he's a big old jamoke, but he doesn't bend. But people like to make a big deal out of the combine, and they're going to continue to do it, and I'm not going to stop them. They're making a lot of money. Good for them. But I'm not going to be the one. What do you think about this guy at the combine? I don't at all. If I'm going to evaluate a player, I got to go back and watch film. Straight it. That's it. It's all about film, and that's it. Now, let me get a couple things off my chest for, you know, I find myself drawn to some players more than others. Some players I just don't care for. And it's sometimes it's the way they act. It's the way they conduct themselves. I've always been a Shaq Barrett fan because of where he came from, without the accolades, without the money, without the hoopla, came here, whooped ass when he came here. Shaq Barrett whooped ass and was one of the main reasons the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl. And then Shaq, you know, had an okay year after that. Then the Achilles, obviously. And then obviously, which should be first in the story, is obviously the death of his daughter in the offseason. So I put this out in social media. If anybody wants to hit me up, it's Ian_Beckles. I mean, no politics in it. It's just me, my opinions. Actually, it's not even that many opinions of mine. It's a lot of stuff from this podcast. But people love to pile on athletes when they're not loyal. Boy, I tell you what, if you help your team win a Super Bowl then the next year you tear your Achilles tendon and your daughter dies in the offseason, what do you expect your season to look like? What would your season look like? So it tells you how heartless businesses in general, but the NFL first and foremost, is. I mean, Shaquille Barrett, he didn't give nothing but all of it all the time. Even when he wasn't productive last year, you didn't one time see Shaq Barrett dogging it ever. Not one time. So I'm going to take this time to thank Shaq Barrett for what he did for the organization, for the Buccaneers, help bring a Super Bowl here, because nobody wants to go out that way without any fanfare whatsoever, and he's not going to get any fanfare on the way out, all right? So one love to Shaq Barrett. I appreciate what you did, and I hope that knee gets better, and I hope you heal up from your wounds from last year, because I can't imagine that, and I appreciate what you did. No, really, that's real. Your wife seems cool as well as on social media, so good luck to you and your endeavors moving forward. And one other thing I want to talk about was that whole Cam Newton thing, Cam Newton getting attacked by a young kid at his own camp. I happen to be coaching at Chamberlain, the offensive line, so I'm exposed to these young kids. Some people say, well, Cam was talking crap in this. When I was young, say I was 17 years old and I was at a football camp, you know what I'm not going to do? Is talk trash to a former NFL MVP and the first pick in the draft and the Heisman Trophy. Why? Why, as a 17-year-old kid, if my son got in a fight with Cam Newton at 17 years old, I wouldn't want to hear the effing story. I don't want to hear the story. It's disrespect. It's a disrespect thing. If that's your kid, shame on you. And there's just not enough respect going out there with these youth. And you should be looking up to Cam Newton. He's doing a football camp for you. I'm pretty sure Cam Newton's not making any money off of it. I'd be shocked if he did. And he's doing it for you. And you're going to attack him in that situation? Didn't really throw a punch, kind of just held the kid off, and I just think it's sad. I think it's sad that that's where we are as a society. I'm sad that's where our youth is, and I'm sad at the lack of respect for elders, because when I was young, I was taught to not really even say that much. That's where I came. So I had to say that, because I just think our society's going in a funny place, and these young kids are going to be the ones who are running our country here soon. And if I'm still around, I don't know. It's going to be tough sledding. There's a lot of crazy stuff happening with our youth right now. A lot of crazy stuff happening with our country. But our Buccaneers got it done. We got Mike Evans done. I believe by the next time I come on here from In the Trenches, I would like to think that Baker Mayfield will be done. Then we'll be talking about Antoine Winfield Jr. and Tristan Wirfs, and we'll see all the things need to be done. But the Bucs are going to have to spend some money this offseason, like I said. Their team's going to be somewhere where it was before. But who are we to complain? We went to playoffs last year. What a playoff game. I never would have thought I was going to say that in week 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 even, to be honest with you. So it wasn't that bad of a football season. Anybody wants to hit me up, I'm cool on all social media. Ian_Beckles on Instagram. And come by the Dignitary Tea and Kava House, 4817 Southwest Shore Boulevard. Have your Mitra 9. And you can actually go to Mitra 9 and use the promo code Dignitary, and you'll get some money off your Mitra if you're purchasing it that way. So, one love to everybody out there. Appreciate all you guys and gals listening in. And have a wonderful week, and please be safe. Peace out.
You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.